Weather like this makes you dream of a sunny holiday in Mauritius or maybe Egypt. But today we're packing our bags for a somewhat lesser known destination in Africa. We're actually heading to Ethiopia. And apparently we're not alone, because according to the World Travel and Tourism Council, stats released earlier this year, Ethiopia's travel and tourism economy grew by 48.6% last year. It was the largest growth seen by any country in the world. And the council also reported that tourism had supported more than 2 million jobs in the country, contributing more than $7 billion to the economy. It's thanks in part to a relaxation of visa policies, which have made the region a bit more welcoming, both as a final destination and as a transit stop. And due to the fact that it's long overlooked as a very interesting place to visit, as my guest in studio is going to tell us. Before I introduce him, though, I'd love to hear from any of you who have been to Ethiopia already and can share some impressions with us of the country, of its people, of the places and the sites that you saw. We'd love to hear from you either with a phone call to 021-446-0567, or you can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. With me in studio is Johnny Johnson, who is a Cape Town resident who spent 3 weeks in Ethiopia in 2015, looking into precisely this issue, its potential as a travel destination and the marketing thereof. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Thanks for having me and giving me this opportunity to talk about a place that I really love.
How did you come to be there? I mean, it's a really fascinating background to the trip. What's a South African doing investigating brand marketing for Ethiopia?
Yeah, it's part of a consortium. Yeah. My company, Tarstone Brand, was invited to do the brand strategy for Ethiopia as a destination. And the 3 weeks that I spent there were just glorious. I traveled the whole country. Mm. And now I tell everybody that I meet, and it's great to be on Cape Talk and be able to tell so many people that they've got to put Ethiopia on their bucket list.
Well, I'm so delighted to have you with us here. I have to say congratulations, because clearly the brand strategy is working based on those figures I quoted. Even if you're working off a low base, close to 50% growth is nothing to sneeze at. If we say Mozambique is a sunny beach with a cocktail in your hand, Uganda is a jungle with some gorillas to visit, how do you characterize Ethiopia?
It's a land of origins. Its history is just fascinating. But not only its history, everything about it is about origin. Mm-hmm. I mean, for starters, it's the origin of coffee. I mean, imagine how we'd get by without that.
Don't want to.
Don't want to, exactly. But even its geography is about origins, because it's the beginning of the Rift Valley. Mm-hmm. And it's got this dramatic landscape as a result of it. Simien Mountains at 3,600 meters, and then there's a place called Dunakel, mm-hmm. which is below sea level. And it's all in the same country.
In one country, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best ways to get its how dramatic it is across is to remember that it's the source of the Blue Nile. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of Lake Tana and tumbles down these waterfalls called the Tisserets, and then goes down this gorge. And you just imagine it going all the way down to Khartoum and then joining the White Nile and then going through Egypt. It's a thin place. It's a very spiritual place. You can't visit and not be left without something.
Fascinating. You said to me in our early correspondence, it's a place for those who are looking for travel, not for tourism.
Yes.
Elaborate a little bit on what you meant by that.
And given those stats that you gave, Pippa, it's a good idea to go sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the difference is tourism for me is about relaxation and being entertained. Ethiopia is a travel destination. You go there to experience and to learn. And you will learn a lot, and the experience will leave you changed.
We've already got our first voice note in from someone who's been there. I'm going to ask you to pop the headphones on, Johnny, so you can hear them clearly. And thank you so much. I hope we'll get a few more of these. Let's take a listen to their recollections.
Hi, Pippa. I went to Ethiopia with my wife about 3 years ago. It was a stopover, a one-day stopover, and believe me, it is one of Africa's hidden gems. The food, the people, our lodgings were all great. The museum was interesting. Addis Ababa is not the prettiest city. It's a bit run down, but nonetheless, it's still a very interesting place, interesting people, interesting food, and it is a hidden gem. And Ethiopian wines are one day going to give South Africa a run for its money.
That I was not expecting to hear. Thank you so much, whoever it was who sent that. Would you agree with those observations, Johnny?
I haven't tried the Ethiopian wine, but coffee there is called Buna, and you have about 5, 6, 7 of them a day. and wow. and they're excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
The food I know in Jera, I think, is the famous one of the staple dishes. What else did you enjoy eating there? What would you recommend eating there?
Injera is great. You eating goat takes a little bit of getting used to, mm-hmm. and that's the main ingredient in injera. Yeah, it wasn't the food that really attracted me to. I think the best part of the food is the way it's served.
Tell me
because
more.
The people are so hospitable.
Okay.
The people are wonderful. And of course, there's such diversity of people. There are 81 different ethnic groups that make up really? Ethiopia.
81 different ethnic groups within one
yeah,
country. Wow.
In one country.
And they're managing to get along. There's some lessons there for South Africa to learn from,
they
I
are,
think.
Aren't
yeah.
They?
You've touched on origins and the history, the immense history of this country. One of the first nations in the world to declare itself a Christian country. I think the one aspect of Ethiopian history that some people might know a little bit about is the presence of these ancient churches sort of dug into the ground. Tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, it was the second nation in the world to declare itself Christian mm-hmm. after Armenia. It beat Rome to the punch. yeah, the church is incredible. You go to Lalibela. Lalibela is probably the best known destination in Ethiopia. It was founded in 11th, 12th centuries by Lalibela, King Lalibela. Yeah. Lalibela in Amharic means honey. And isn't it great to have a king called Honey? King Honey. King Honey, I'm home. So and he built these amazing churches. But what makes them incredible is, to use one example, St. George's Church, there are 11 of these churches, yeah. was built by his widow in his memory. And she was inspired to build it by a verse out of Revelations. That says something like the following is, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length, the breadth, and the height are all equal. Mm-hmm. And you walk over this rock. Imagine being on top of Pol Rock, and you walk over this rock, and then there's this huge hole dug in the rock. And in the bottom of this hole is this church, which is a cross. And every side of the cross is absolutely symmetrical. But here's the fascinating thing. There are no joints in that rock. It is hewn out of one piece of solid rock.
That's extraordinary. Yeah.
It is extraordinary. When I was there, it was St. Michael's Day, and there was a service going in. So you walk into the church, and you're in the middle of a service, and you're in the middle of this whole community sitting in the church. And
how do they feel about travelers wandering in? Are they quite comfortable with that?
They are. I found it a little disconcerting. Mm. I felt as though I was invading somebody else's space, which brings one back to that go now, because you want to be there before it gets spoiled. And unfortunately, tourism can spoil places. They've got to be very carefully looked after. Lalibela, fortunately, is. They only let a certain amount of people in at a time.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of the highlights somebody else is mentioning on the WhatsApp line, saying, beautiful people, women the most beautiful in Africa. I spent 9 days there and even experienced the hospital and the amazing doctors and nurses. I'm sorry to hear that. The airline was brilliant. The hotel was wow. I can't wait to get back and see the friends I made there and to visit Lalibela and the churches again. I'm glad they mentioned the airline, because we must talk about a couple of the practicalities. Getting there, obviously, Ethiopian Airlines is, I assume, going to be your go-to carrier. Are there other servers one should be aware of, or is that the place
to go? I think that's the best one to go with.
Okay.
The main thing you have to do if you're going to Ethiopia is plan very carefully. So there are outbound tourism operators in South Africa that organize tours. You've got to work through them,
okay.
or otherwise work through an inbound tourist operator in Ethiopia, and they're excellent.
Okay, is that because they, besides the convenience of everything being organized by one person, are they going to handle, I'm just guessing, infrastructural challenges within the country? It might not be too easy to get from A to B?
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's exactly right. But it's more than that, though. You need a guide.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford it, a guide and a driver in your own car, then you've got the freedom to really go wherever you want to. And you need a guide that's informed. You know, lots of the, don't expect out in the wilds to find street signs.
Yeah.
So you need to know where you're going.
Okay.
Otherwise, you go on a tour, and there's some really good tours.
Okay. I had a look on Travel Start before we came to air to see the sort of cost of the flights alone. And there were some starting from as little as, I think, 7,500 Rand return, going up to astronomical figures if you're booking for tomorrow. So bear that in mind. But good advice there that it is worth rather booking an entire package through a tour company. Currency wise, how does the Rand hold up to the birr?
Oh, very well. The birr. Yeah, no, very well. It's one of the few places South Africans can go and get a good exchange rate.
It's
a relief. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, your costs are more around travel, more around logistics. And as I said up front, it's for travelers, not tourists. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to find a 5-star hotel. You're often going to have to, if you go up to Giralta, for example, visit the rock-hewn churches up on the cliffs of Giralta, you might have to slum it a bit, but it's well worth it. In fact, it adds to it.
It's part of the whole experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there is hotel infrastructure. Obviously, we gather from that last voice note in particular, but it's not going to be consistent outside the main centres. Besides Addis, are there other large cities in Ethiopia?
Yes. If you go to Lake Tana, there are lots. There are lots of. I don't want to undermine the hotels because they're great hotels, but some of the places you want to go to, you won't find a great hotel, but they're lodges, which are very good, and they're kind of bed and breakfasts that are fine.
And 2 million people employed in the tourism industry, so great to be able to support that. Any safety and security concerns? Somebody's asking on the SMS line.
I didn't find any of that.
Okay.
I felt absolutely unthreatened wherever I went. Obviously, I think that if you're in Addis, for example, you want to be careful as you are in any big city anywhere in the world. The people are kind. We had in a month of traveling through the country and revisiting Addis, I never felt uncomfortable once. Okay. Mind you, once a pickpocket tried to pick my pocket.
You just
got to be wide awake.
Happens in Venice as well, all over the world. So, yeah, just be mindful. Visa regulations. I mentioned at the start, I know there has been some relaxation in the past year or so. I know you can apply online for e-visas. Do you just pick those up on arrival?
It's very easy. Yeah. Even if you haven't applied online, you can at the airport get a visa.
Okay. So,
I wouldn't recommend you do that.
Okay.
But it's very, very easy to do.
A plan B. Okay. Seasonality. Is there a best time of year to visit?
I think the main thing to look Ethiopia runs on a different calendar to the rest of the world.
Uh-huh.
So what I would do is check out when the festivities are and plan around the festivities rather than around the climate.
Okay. One last question I think we've got time to squeeze in. You mentioned how high some parts of the country are. Is altitude a challenge for any visitors? It's significantly higher than we used to here in Cape Town.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So you do get breathless.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go running around on the top of the Simmons because you will get breathless. But yes, it's dramatic. You know, I mean, I remember going up to the Bali Plateau, and in the morning we left the hotel early in jeans and a t-shirt.
Mm.
When you got up on top of the plateau, we had to put on anoraks and beanies and gloves because it was and there was snow.
Okay.
So and that's there was an hour and a half's drive.
Okay, good to know.
So yeah, be prepared.
4 seasons in a day, as we're used to that here in Cape Town. So go prepared.
Yes.
All right, one last question. David on the WhatsApp line asking how widely English is spoken. Is it easy to communicate traveling around the country?
Yes.
Yeah.
I found no problem. There's basically always somebody that will speak English to you.
Okay.
And wherever you go, there are guides available. They've got a very good guide infrastructure, and you'll find a guide, and that guide will tell you all the wonderful myths and legends.
Sounds incredible. You've whetted my appetite. Thank you so much, Johnny Johnson, for sharing those insights into the amazing country that is of Ethiopia. Have you been back since that first trip in 2015, or will you go back?
I've been back 4 times, always to Addis though.
Okay.
On business. And I can't wait to go back and do the country again, especially the north of the country. But depends on what you like.
We'll expect to have hordes of Cape Talk listeners following behind your heels. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pippa.